This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson is the political reporter extraordinaire with the Daily Progress, and he joins us each Monday for a political discussion. We invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070. Phone lines are open. Good afternoon, Mr. Gibson. I'm so glad you could be here.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Absolutely. I want to thank you as well as a Sorensen guy for your speaking at our alumni reunion recently in Richmond. We had about 300 people in the ballroom at the Jefferson Hotel, and you were one of the speakers who wowed the crowd with your thoughts and insights regarding the campaigns currently going on.
Very nice group of folks down there.
Yeah. I loved it when you got in. You said, I always love coming to Sorensen because I can see Republicans and Democrats sitting at the same tables having nice, pleasant conversations.
That doesn't happen everywhere anymore. You know, that's one of our problems.
Absolutely. One thing that you actually said at this event, I wanted to see if you could flesh out for the folks here, who weren't there, but you said you really don't have to read or see anything that you disagree with if you design your information carefully enough. And you were talking about our consumption, our media consumption, and where we get our news. And if you're a hardcore Republican, you can watch Fox all day and actually believe that that is the way the world is and this is how it is and the news agrees with me. Or if you are a liberal, you can listen to WVAX, Air America or whatever all day long and think this is the way the world is. And
that's definitely where we're going. We're designing our own information. Hardcore conservatives and hardcore liberals are finding news outlets and opinion outlets with which they will find little to disagree. They can go get their news from, you know, one side or the other and not be confronted with ugly facts that tend to get in the way.
Yeah. Truthiness, as they say.
Truthiness.
The Comedy Channel.
Yeah.
And what's the danger of this as we see more and more of this?
Well, how much do we have in common if each of us is reading off a different page? How much can Republicans and Democrats work together if each of them has not only different philosophical beliefs, but different beliefs as to what the situation is on the ground, what the facts are? You know, you have an administration in Washington that's been saying for years now that the news media does not report the good news out of Iraq. And they would like people to believe, voters to believe, that things have been going well for most of that period of time.
And that we just weren't being told that it was
well. We were just being shown the nasty stuff, and we weren't being shown the good things. And that's been a consistent line out of the White House. Now, that's changed a bit in the last 2 weeks as the news has gotten horrendously worse out of Iraq.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there's a real danger that Democrats and Republicans aren't operating off the same set of facts.
Yeah, and then when you do, you each define bipartisanship differently, so that when you get together and you both know you should try to be bipartisan, you might understand that to be a completely different thing and never really find that middle ground that a democracy needs if it's going to function properly.
And each side sort of denigrates the other's information sources. You'll often see conservatives say that the New York Times is not to be trusted, and you'll see liberals saying the Washington Times is not to be trusted. Well, you know, those are still outfits that have decent reporting, and they still do present facts. Now, they present opinion as well.
Right, right.
But, you know, if you're not accepting the other side as presenting a straight case, then how can you find common ground?
Yeah. And this, all of this sort of feeds into my next question was, regarding your, recent column on Sunday under the title Partisanship Becomes Law, where you sort of take this to an extreme, this myopic partisanship, and you can actually build laws around it.
Well, unfortunately, the column was making the case that what has been going on in Washington that a lot of us are, worried about in recent years is actually seeping southward to Richmond, and that the General Assembly in particular is picking up a lot of the bad habits in Congress. And some of those are becoming enshrined in rule and in law. The worst rule, I believe, that the House of Delegates enacted last session, which is this year, was one that says you can kill bills in subcommittees without a recorded vote. That means any piece of legislation a majority doesn't like, it can assign to a subcommittee that can dispatch it without anyone's fingerprints being on the death.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I'm sure you've read the Albemarle County School Board recently ruled that they were going to change the way that they keep their minutes such that it wasn't going to be that exact anymore. You didn't have to have your name next to what you said in the minutes anymore. It would be so-called summary minutes.
Well, unfortunately, most bodies that keep minutes don't keep minutes as good as those that have been kept by the county school board. So they're sort of backsliding a little bit to information that is usually, you know, a synopsis rather than a more thorough account in minutes. This shouldn't be a problem if there is good taping, good recording, and you can still get to the original source.
And they're still planning on podcasting these things.
Which is important.
But if you want to know exactly what somebody says, you're going to have to listen to the tape. Now, unlike the General Assembly, where there is no podcast, there isn't any record at all.
No, there's no tape.
You can never know exactly how your representatives or any representatives voted.
Not until they get to the full committee. Now, in a full committee, you'll see recorded votes. And if legislation is big enough, you know, it gets to the full committee, it's heard at the subcommittee level perhaps, but it's heard again and more thoroughly at the full committee level. That's what the Republicans in control of the House were trying to get a little bit of a handle on. Sometimes bills were being heard in subcommittee and then being heard again in committee, and a lot of the presentation was the same. So they were saying we can be much more efficient and just handle a lot of these bills that don't have a chance in subcommittee. Well, that's fine if you're handling a bill that has one vote or no votes, it's not going to get a second in committee and it's not going to go anywhere, or a second in subcommittee and go anywhere. But still, do you really want to give a majority the power to kill bills in silence, in secret? It's not really in secret because they hold these meetings in open session, but a lot of them are 7:30 in the morning with reporters present and, you know, maybe 10 or 20 people.
And a lot of them happen without telling reporters. They just sort of schedule them and they go and do it. And the reporters find out later, oh, yeah, that you met.
They're very quickly scheduled. Oftentimes you can't be at more than one subcommittee meeting at the same time. It's something we haven't mastered too well. So
Bob Gibson, our guest of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Now, I know where you and I obviously stand on this. It's sort of sad and embarrassing that we would have one of the oldest governing bodies in the world, the Virginia State Congress, would do this kind of thing. But has there been any outcry across the Commonwealth?
There has been some. The Newport News Daily Press and the Washington Post have taken notice of the change and have editorialized. There is a problem with efficiency if it gets rid of accountability. And a lot of people recognize that. The lobbyists aren't particularly happy with it, but it is seen as very efficient by the majority. So there has been no attempt to change the rule. And unless good government groups and partisans get involved and decide that this is a rule that has to go, it's going to get enshrined and people are going to use it more and more. And then the majority is going to change and the other party is going to kill bills that way without recorded votes in subcommittee.
And it'll just become normal that this is how we do it. And we slowly, slowly keep inching away from.
Well, it's not even that slow because they used it about 400 times this year. Now, they only used it 30 some times against Senate measures.
Yeah.
That was the real conflict in Richmond. It was between the Senate Republican majority and the House Republican majority. And a couple of big bills that were dispatched that way in subcommittee without a recorded vote were the Clean Indoor Air Act, Senator Brandon Bell's bill that would have banned indoor smoking in most Virginia localities, in all of Virginia localities, most places where the public goes in Virginia, indoors in buildings, and another measure, which was a major transportation funding measure sponsored by Charles Hawkins, another Republican senator from Southside. His bill was dispatched without a recorded vote in a subcommittee. So it's a trend that, you know, it's happened on us pretty fast.
It's like we keep moving away from what Jefferson intended, and we keep proving him right when he said, this is what could go wrong if you screw it up.
Well, government in the dark. I mean, government's bad enough, but government in the dark is worse.
Yeah, yeah, a whole lot worse. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, our guest this half hour on Charlottesville Right Now. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the election coming up with Bob Gibson, and we welcome your calls and comments. You got a question for Bob Gibson? Let me hear from you at 977-1070. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Catherine is on the phone. Catherine, you're on with Bob Gibson.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gibson.
Hi, Catherine.
I find myself very frustrated with the political process in that it seems like there are a lot of things that are done bureaucratically and our legislators know nothing about them until they're in place. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of interest in reporting on this type of problem. Would you think it's the best way for citizens to try and get things reported to their legislators to make them aware of issues that are changing the landscape of the country, but are just being done from a bureaucratic perspective and bureaucratically driven rather than legislatively driven.
Well, you've hit upon a very important part of our process, and that is informing legislators. Rob Bell and David Toscano and Cree Deeds, legislators from this area, will tell you that they really, really appreciate citizens bringing to them the problems that they see inside the state or local bureaucracy. They can't do much about what happens at the locality, although we are a Dillon Rule state, and Richmond does have some control over what localities can and can't do. But the legislators really need to know what's going on inside the bureaucracy in the state government, and they're not always told. Sometimes they find out late. Sometimes the press finds out late. When citizens or people who work in government find this out, it's very, very helpful to the process to tell both reporters, if you care about it, and your legislators.
Well, what do you feel is the best avenue to get reporters interested in checking out different issues as they come up?
Really, it usually just takes a couple of good phone calls where you lay out what you know and you say, this isn't right, or this has changed in a major way the way the state does business. And reporters are always interested in finding something that that nobody knows. And a lot of times this is something that's going on in the bureaucracy that we find out about because citizens or people in state government tell us. Same goes for legislators. I mean, it really helps for them to know what's going on before they vote on something. And they aren't always told the way the actions are seen by those implementing them or those around in a state agency. They don't always see that. They don't always hear that. It's really good to bring that to their attention.
They can often be in a bubble without even realizing it.
Oh, yeah. No, we're all in bubbles without realizing it because, you know, there are 100,000 state employees nearly, and they're all doing a job. And sometimes when that job changes, we don't find out about it.
And your newsroom takes calls like this every day.
We try to.
Yeah, and it's not just about what's going on in Albemarle County or Charlottesville or Havana. It's just people calling in with news about what's going on in Richmond or even Washington.
Yeah, now, your caller, Catherine, is right. I mean, there is a lot that's going on bureaucratically that it would be better for citizens to know about sooner rather than later so that they can make their views known to their legislators and their legislators can actually have some input into whether or not this is a good practice.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, our guest. Catherine, thank you so much for the call. Bob, what's the very latest on the 5th District congressional race between Virgil Goode and Al Weed? We only have, just like 2 or 3 weeks.
And Joe Otto.
And Joe Otto, that's right.
There is a debate tonight, and then there's another debate a week from tomorrow night. The debate tonight is televised. It's the only televised debate in the entire 5th District contest. So between 8 and 9 p.m. tonight here on NBC 29, WVAR-TV in Charlottesville, also WSET-TV in Lynchburg, Channel 13, viewers can watch their congressman and the two challengers, Al Weed, the Democratic nominee, and Joe Otto, the independent Green, as all three are questioned at Liberty University by a couple of debate students at Liberty and by a couple of members of the media, one from Channel 13 and one from Channel 29 here in Charlottesville. Then a week from tomorrow night, I've got all three candidates on my program on public radio, and we'll be on from 7:30 to 8:30 on Halloween night.
That's great.
That could be scary on WVTF.
And we're getting big news that Republicans are slipping around the country in congressional and Senate seats. Largely based on scandals in Washington, Republican scandals and the war in Iraq. Is that materializing in the 5th District here in Virginia? Are we seeing Virgil Goode slipping in the polls because of the national standing of bigger name Republicans?
I think Virgil knows that it's not a good Republican year. That's why he's running with Republican, the name, the label, the party missing from his campaign advertising.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
interesting.
He's running TV spots that call him independent-minded, which he has been known to be. But not noting his Republican Party affiliation. So he knows there's a wind, and it's not at the backs of Republican candidates nationally. The latest polling data that I've seen is at least a week old in that race, and it showed a 56-40% lead for Virgil Goode over Al Weed, the Democrat.
A lot closer than I would have thought maybe a month or two ago.
I think it is tightening up, but it's not within the margin of error as a very tight race.
Yeah. Now, what's the latest on the Virginia Senate race? We've been told that this is one of three races that the national folks are watching that could really upset the balance of power in the U.S. Senate.
Republicans are relying on Virginia and Tennessee as their backstop to maintain control of the U.S. Senate. If Republicans hold George Allen's seat in Virginia, and Republicans hold the seat that Bill Frist is giving up in Tennessee, they think they can maintain at least 50 seats. If all the other states that are leaning the other way go to Democrats, they would be 50-50, and they would maintain control because of Vice President Cheney if they hold Virginia and if they hold Tennessee. So these two state Senate contests are extremely important to both parties. There's no doubt, which means that a lot of money is going to be funneled into Virginia. A tremendous amount of national money is going to be funneled in the last 2 weeks.
Have we seen that kick up yet, or is that about to start?
Yes. I mean, the ads that you see on TV now are mostly funded. The ones I've seen lately have been mostly funded by the national committees, the national senatorial committees for the parties, rather than the Webb campaign for the Democrats or the Allen campaign.
So, what do these ads tell you about how these two races are being run, these two campaigns are being run, the Webb race versus the Allen race?
They tell you that George Allen has largely changed the topic from the personal problems he was dealing with, you know, with the racial slurs and the allegations, to issues that voters are much more likely to consider him favorably on. So I think George Allen is in a little better shape than he was 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, because he's largely changed the issue to taxes, which is something that the Webb folks bitterly contest his charge that, you know, Jim Webb would raise the taxes of every Virginian by $2,000. Jim Webb hasn't said any such thing, hasn't indicated support for that kind of tax level, but George Allen is implying that from words that he says Webb has said.
And Webb continues to run what many people say is a mediocre campaign. A lot of these the rising poll numbers sort of fell in his lap based on Allen's gaffes. But has he taken full advantage of those mistakes?
Webb hasn't moved up in the polls a lot. Webb has maintained a position just at or with or just below George Allen in all the recent polls, usually within the margin of error of the polling.
But he's never been above Allen in any poll.
Well, in a couple of little ones, but those are kind of daily, you know, shots that are usually robocall polls.
Right, right.
So in the big polls, no. George Allen has maintained a slight lead or a lead within the margin of error.
It's really fascinating.
Well, I think it's going down
for folks like us. I mean, it's just really amazing that this race is so close. No one thought this race would be close.
It's going down to the wire, and it's very
important. Except maybe Jim Webb.
It is very, very important to both parties, because it looks like the Republican incumbent, Rick Santorum, is losing in Pennsylvania. The Republican incumbent is losing in Ohio. Mike DeWine to Sherrod Brown out there. Bob Casey is beating Santorum soundly now in polls in Pennsylvania. The Democrats are holding on by a bare small margin to the seat in New Jersey that Bob Menendez holds. And it looks like, you know, Rhode Island is going to switch from Lincoln Chafee to Sheldon Whitehouse, the Democrat.
That's huge.
So Virginia may be a backstop state. It may be a swing or deciding state in control of the U.S. Senate.
And most people have already said that it looks like the Democrats will take Congress, right? Except the Bloomberg study, which didn't look at any polls. It just looked at who has the most money.
Well, it's still somewhat in doubt. Democrats need to pick up 15 seats in the House of Representatives to control the House. Most analysts say that 15 to 30 is the likely range of Democratic gains. So it's not a sure thing. Anything can happen in the next 2 weeks. But if the election were held today, and a lot of people actually have voted already, because in 30 states you can vote early. You don't have to vote on election day. 30 states have open early voting. Virginia is not one of those states and not likely to be anytime soon. But a lot of the voting has already taken place. So it looks like the House may change.
Well, what kind of turnout are we expecting here in Virginia?
40%, roughly, maybe a little under that in those registered.
Yeah. Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday for a political discussion. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. This interview will be archived in its entirety at SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.